welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, February 22nd, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. I have Yvonne Bo with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Yeah, hello.
So right before we started recording, Yvonne, I mentioned that I really don't have that much on my agenda this week. Yvonne said he had one thing on his agenda, only one, and that has something to do with with eBay sucking. So take it away, Yvonne.
Okay. You know, I have used, I had used eBay a lot years before. I gotta admit that I will say from 2006 till today, I hadn't tried to use it much in those last few years. Okay. I know that there have been a lot of discussion in the blogs and in CNET and other places I'd seen, even in the mainstream news, about how eBay has changed and how they changed how they you know, sorted their listings and which listers they gave priority to, et cetera, and so forth.
And policies, but I must admit, relating to how sellers, what happens to sellers, and they,
right, and feedback and all of that. I gotta be quite honest that I had not really experienced them because it'd been a while since I had listed anything on eBay, and I used to list.
So you're talking about using eBay to sell as opposed to using eBay to buy.
No. This time I was talking about buying, but okay. I just hadn't interactively used it in either way, either selling or buying. Okay. You know, just had not used it in a while. So in the last couple of weeks, I was looking for a used car, not for myself, but for somebody else. Okay.
On eBay.
Well, not necessarily on eBay, but one of the places that I had used before to purchase for such things had been eBay. So therefore, I went. I decided to try to look through the listings on eBay
That's actually interesting in and of itself. And I vaguely in the back of my mind knew that eBay sometimes did cars, but like I would never have even thought of eBay for cars. I think of eBay for like junk. But, you know, go ahead.
They had boats and cars. I mean, me and a friend of mine, I sold a yacht on eBay for $350,000. Okay. All right. Let's put it that way. Yes. I mean, it was, and as a matter of fact, it was the most effective way to list it. Had the yacht listed with a yacht brokerage, had the yacht listed with, there's a website that is kind of like Auto Trader, you know, one of those, it's a site that just specializes in yachts. It was there in Yacht World, it's called, it was there, and it was on eBay. The most effective, actually, tool to sell it was eBay.
Now, how long ago was that?
Sold 2006. Okay.
Not that long ago.
No.
Well, 4 years.
Not even that.
Is a long time in internet.
No. 2007. Excuse me. It was late. It closed the sale in November 2007. It was not auction. Okay. What I wound up, it was one of those where it was make an offer. I think I maybe ran an auction with a price, but just kept it. So the auction was a 3-week auction. Just kept the listing. The deal was closed by a phone call. Okay. By phone and by the person coming visiting he was just not going to, there's no way to work an auction. The guy had to come inspect the yacht, took it out of the water, did the thing. We closed the deal, $335,000 deal with a listing on eBay. Okay. I sold another one for $80,000. Okay, so it's very effective. I sold a BMW convertible on eBay for I think it was about $8,000. I don't know. So I've sold a lot. I mean, and I had looked for vehicles for other people and looked them through eBay. Well, so okay, so this was a few years ago. I think the last time it was 3 years ago that I really did something active with that. Well, it's actually not even 3 years because that's November 2007. So, and I had seen all the changes on the listings. Now I went, I was trying to search for a used car. I noticed that there were almost no individual sellers anymore selling cars on eBay. Very few. Very, very, very few listings. Most of the listings were fucking auto car dealers trying to sell cars on eBay.
Right.
And a lot of junk. I mean, a lot of fucking junk listings. I mean, it was like you tried to look through. You really couldn't find really any decent used cars on eBay anymore. None. I'm like going through it, and it's just all this stuff is. I mean, my God, one of them was like, there's apparently Hertz is having some rent to own cars. Okay.
Okay.
So they're used rental cars, mind you. Okay, that you could buy, which just as an FYI to everybody.
The last thing you want to buy
is a fucking used rental car. I mean, unless it's for $2,000 or $1,000 for Pete's sake, because 40,000 miles of a rental car are like 150,000 miles or 200,000 miles of an individually owned car. Okay? I mean, you think about all the drivers that went through this thing. Think about how well you treated the last rental car you had. Seriously, okay? This is not, you know, a good. This is not a good idea. Okay, so I kept finding rental cars, auto dealerships with cars that were just overpriced. I mean, just ridiculously overpriced. I mean, and you know, so I'm frustrated with eBay. So I started driving around and trying to go to used car lots. Okay, so one of the first places I just stopped by. My wife works right by a CarMax, so. My wife was working on Saturday, so I decided to drive by her store, stop there, pick up a cup of coffee. I said, well, I'm going to go to CarMax just to look. I mean, I don't know. Let me just look. I went there. I mean, this was even more ridiculous. To talk about it, I'll warn everybody, don't fucking buy a car from CarMax either, okay? I mean, they were asking, for example, $14,500 for a 3-year-old Toyota Corolla, okay? Now, I had purchased for my wife, we had purchased, like in 2005, the same car, brand new, for $14,500. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, but how the hell am I going to pay for a used car almost the same as a new one? A lot of the prices, especially in some of the budget cars, were pretty darn close to prices that you could buy for a fucking new car. I'm like, why would you buy this fucking car? A lot of them, by the way, that I saw as well on at CarMax were also used rental cars. And I'm like, okay, so this is driving me nuts.
So now wait. Just a question here. You started this out as a rant against eBay,
yes,
specifically.
No. Wait. I haven't gotten to the punchline yet. Okay. So I went to another. I shortened that part. I went through three different places. I went through different places looking at cars. Then I got back, and then I thought, Craigslist. Shit, I didn't think about that. I went to Craigslist. I will tell you that what I discovered, almost all the damn used car listings that you used to see on eBay, practically all of them have gravitated to Craigslist.
Right.
I mean, eBay is practically useless right now to buy a used car. All it is right now, they've destroyed the fucking thing. It's just a fucking conduit for large companies to sell. And that wasn't the point of eBay. They completely destroyed the fucking thing. No wonder the company's struggling now. It's ridiculous. I mean, the whole concept of what eBay was has been completely undermined by all the changes they did. Entirely. I just thought that, you know, and I noticed, I guess, well, you know, since that's destroyed, well, Craigslist is it. Now, the only thing about Craigslist, I mean, it's, you know, it's great, but the only thing about it is it's a little search engine to go look if I'm looking for a specific car. It's just, I mean, it's, they're very bare bones listings. It's very difficult to look at it. But almost everybody right now that is selling a, if you're look, so my advice is if you're really looking for a decent used car, go to Craigslist. Okay. That's what I came up after all that research.
So now from what I've heard, you know, I had no experience whatsoever of eBay for high ticket items, as opposed to sort of the little goofy things that people do or collect or whatever. But what I've heard from, you know, again, like the media reports you're talking about, I don't have any firsthand, is basically, I think most of this happened a year and a half ago. And eBay made a whole lot of changes to basically how they interact with sellers. And the sellers just started leaving in droves. And as you said, a lot of went to Craigslist. Other types of stuff have gone other places. But basically, the people who sort of made their living off of eBay, most of them have left, to find other places. I don't know what that means to the market of the people who are doing one-off sales, but I guess it's probably more hostile to them.
Oh, they've driven. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those are all gone. They're all gone. They're not there. They're all gone. There are that's the one thing I found. Almost no individual sales. Almost none. I mean, I went and I'm like going, this is insane. I tried to see, okay, show me any used cars that are not from, dealers, from somebody, right? And I could, for example, I just went in right now and I typed in to look for a certain specific model car, right? All the listings, 1, 2, 3, dealer.
Tell me something, since you're on there right now, do something, search for something else that's like a cheap item, like a $50 or less item.
All right, okay, let's go there. Okay, let's see, how about a... what could we look for? Less than $50. I mean,
I don't know. How about a
cell phone? Cell phone.
Okay, fine.
Motorola Razr. There you go. How's that?
Okay.
There you go. That's got to be under $50, right? Okay. There you go. Okay. Here we go. Let's see. Okay, so I got a couple of listings here. Okay, new unlocked Motorola Razr V3, pink AT&T Mobile for $66.45. And this is actually an individual seller. But it's one of these, it's got this top-rated gold label seller thing here.
Yeah.
Okay, so, this seems like some company anyway that's actually selling these. It's not probably. Like let's see. Somebody's got to have anybody selling a phone individually? Let's see. Here's a Motorola Razr V3. Somebody looks like it's up for auction. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Is it a person? No, it's a company. Again, there we go. No individual. Well, okay, let's see again.
And again, I wish I knew the details of everything they'd changed, but again, the theme was they made it more hostile to sellers, and I think the end result was, they dried up a lot of their markets, and not just for individual sellers, but sort of the small business type sellers, the people who aren't associated with a big company, but who, were on eBay enough to sort of, make a living at it, and it seems like they made a lot of those people go away, and here, bottom line, 5-10 years ago, you'd hear people talking about eBay and hey, you can go do something cool and then you can sell it on eBay and you can make money, or you're looking for that kind of stuff, go look at eBay. I don't know, maybe I'm just not in a place where I would hear that, but I just don't hear that anymore.
I don't either. Really don't either. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I think that they've, by doing these changes, they made themselves close to fucking irrelevant.
So, anyway, I guess I have nothing else to say about that. Why don't we take a break and we'll be back on with something else.
Okay, sounds good to me.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tel Motel.
Canopy by Sarah K. Bell. Hemmed by forest, the greenest intentions begin to carve themselves finely, curved and carefully set. Not so much strong as determined, the child grows mimetic, wrapping its elbows in your outermost layer. A carapace, which for some would seem bat-laced, a pantheon for gods of black and green to gather, the tender vessel will stretch our filaments, will spread wider still and tent this dollhouse.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we are back. I hope everyone enjoyed their
break. This week, you know, I am not asleep, half asleep, like last week, and having a couple of drinks and then falling asleep last week. I'm like, I was listening to myself trying to speak after having fallen asleep. It's not necessarily a good thing.
Oh, you mean on last week's show?
I am. I'm like, oh, gosh. I mean, I woke up. I was so half asleep trying to do that show anyway.
Well, here's where I am on this thing. I mean, the last couple of weeks have been crazy at work. This is the season at my company where you do all the bureaucratic crap associated with, yeah, I'm a manager, so I have, you know, reviews, there's planning for the coming year, there's all kinds of stuff you have to do, and all of that gets concentrated in the first part of the year. There's a little bit of it later in the year, but the big bulk of it is this time of year. And so I've been spending tons of time on that, both inside of work and outside of work, getting everything done that needs to be done. So I've been like super, super busy with that. And then on Saturday, my dad arrived. He's visiting along with my stepmom, and they're here. And so we got the company thing going. And so, you know, my attention level to sort of current events the last few weeks has been like on the floor, like, cause there's just been too much other stuff going on, you know, in my life.
You just mentioned that your dad came in. Speaking of your dad, let me ask you a question. Is he on Facebook?
Yes, he is.
Are you okay? Are you friends with him on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Because my father got on Facebook and just a few minutes ago sent me a friend request on Facebook. Now, I will admit that, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was feeling like, I realized, like, all these teenagers that are all of a sudden, why the fuck does he want to know what I'm doing on Facebook?
Yes.
And I, by the way, actually did not reject it, but I ignored his friend request, by the way. Because I gotta be quite honest with you, I don't really see how, I don't want him to be my fucking friend on Facebook. It's a pain in my ass anyway. Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, I having seen, you know, as I am also a friend of yours on Facebook, there's nothing too particularly incriminating that you've put there.
No, I know. I just, you know, I just think for some reason, I don't know, I just find it, you know, just, you know, very, just, it's very intrusive. I mean, I don't know why the fuck all these people. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. No. Both my parents are Facebook friends. I have a number of other relatives that are. You know.
Actually, here's the thing. My father, for some reason that's just idiotic, has barely spoken to me for a number of months. Okay. Okay. So I found it like rather, you know, weird that he doesn't speak to me yet. Tries to get me to be a friend of his on Facebook. You get my drift?
Uh-huh.
So it's just, you know, it was just one of those things, you know. So anyway.
Yeah, so all right. Anyway, my point was just, you know, I apologize. You know, I've been kind of out of it because I've had the real world intrude. But, you know, a couple things still came up this week that I thought might be worth mentioning, you know, and then, you know, if we run out of stuff to talk, we'll finish early. But just in the last couple days, it's come up that Apple, in their infinite wisdom, with their, you know, what they've done on the App Store for iPhones, apparently in the last few days has decided that, you know, even though they had been allowing them in the past, they are going to now no longer allow a class of applications they're calling titillating applications into the App Store. Now, they have a rating system so that, you know, you can sort of have, you know, certain apps that are age restricted or whatever, but these are not like even R rated. Like what we're talking about are things they never allowed, like, you know, R and X rated stuff on the iPhone store. We're talking about PG-13 here, and that they're really not letting
them anymore. What do the Apple stores do?
Here is an example of the first one that got pulled from the Apple store and then got all over the blogs that it was pulled, and then all kinds of others, is And now this is an incredibly stupid, but this is an app where you take a picture and then you identify points on the picture that you want to be jiggly. And then you can shake your iPhone and those parts of the picture will jiggle. Now, you can imagine what part of the picture they tend to... I mean, the application is called something like iBoobs or something. You know?
Okay.
So basically...
That's just silly.
Yes, it's just silly. And there are other apps that, like, you know, have, you know, bikini models. I mean, because they don't allow nudity. So, like, the most you get is like girls in bikinis.
But I think there was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue app.
There was.
I was seeing that yesterday.
There was, and I'm not sure that's got a big name behind it, so I don't know whether they're going to pull all of those, but the little folks who are doing those kinds of things are certainly getting their apps pulled at this point, you know, and it's one of those things.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you think, I mean, was there any rationale behind, explanation behind that?
Apple has mysterious ways. They are not, you know, explaining in detail what they're doing. I gather it's because, I think it's because they may have gotten some complaints. I don't know. B, like, if you started looking at the, you know, top 10 apps lists on their site, a lot of them ended up being these stupid kind of, you know, sexy girl apps or whatever. And I think they want to maintain an image that is not, you know, hey, buy your iPhone, you can get all kinds of smut. And now, having said that, I think there are ways, you know, they already had, you know, sort of an age-appropriate classification there, you know. You can use that kind of stuff and put those things in different top 10 lists or whatever.
Check this out. Look, I just looked up something. I typed something on this, and I'm looking at a blog post that was put down at 8:30 p.m. Regarding this. Apple's 7 Commandments of App Sex.
Yep.
And the guy just wrote, I have spoken with Apple, the following are the new rules.
Give the appropriate – where are you reading? What blog?
Okay, this is at the unofficial Apple blog. It's 2
The unofficial Apple weblog. Go ahead.
Okay, and they've got Apple 7 Commandments of App Sex, and this was updated like
Saturday
2 hours
evening.
Ago. Right, February 21st, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, okay? And it says here, John Atherton at Chili Fresh, the app developer of Wobble, has posted what he says are Apple's new rules regarding sexual content in the iPhone app. I have spoken with Apple, and the following are the new rules. No images of women in bikinis. Ice skating tights are not okay either. No images of men in bikinis. Okay. No skin. He seriously said this. I asked if a burqa was okay, and the Apple guy got angry. No silhouettes that indicate that Wobble can be used for wobbling boobs. No sexual connotations or innuendo. Boobs, babes, booty, sex, all banned. Nothing that can be sexually arousing. No apps will be approved that in any way imply sexual content. Not sure how Playboy is still in the store, but keep in mind that these rules have not been verified or posted by Apple, and Atherton has been on a roll recently of trying to drum up as much press as he can about Apple's changes. So, yeah, so this is – I mean, this doesn't sound right.
Well, you know, and here's a – I mean, you know, Apple – their App Store approval process – has been somewhat chaotic. Their rules have not been applied consistently.
Right.
I mean, these rules here, I mean, like, you'll go through an what was the good example? Like, there was one app that was basically an image viewer where you could put in like a search term and it would show you images that came back from that search term that you could like flip through and see the images, blah, blah, blah. And of course, you know, the app was put into the store saying, you know, you can use this to look at flowers or, you know, planets or whatever you want. But of course, you could also put in boobs, you know, and get those image search results. And so Apple banned that. I mean, and so like people were saying, well, you know, at that rate, You know, why aren't you banning the Google app? Why aren't you banning Bing?
Exactly.
Why aren't you banning your own web browser? Because,
yeah,
you know,
because we can see naked women on there.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to ban anything that could possibly be used to display.
Look, I don't know. There's one thing that I will say that I was thinking about this, but I think that this is a problem that this doesn't even address. You know, say I give an iPhone to my child, right?
Yep.
Unlike in a computer or like some other environment, you know, I don't have parental controls on the phone.
There are parental controls on an iPhone. They are fairly limited. Yeah, if you go into your settings, there's a controls area that will let you, like, for instance, turn off the ability to buy apps.
And
you can turn off the web browser entirely in there.
There are
parental controls. They are fairly limited.
But they're fairly limited. I mean, they're very blunt. I mean, turn off web browsing. I mean, shit. Why did I get him an iPhone in the first place?
I'm in there right now. The restrictions that are possible: you can turn off Safari, you can turn off YouTube, you can turn off iTunes, you can turn off installing applications, you can turn off the camera. Or the camera app, you can turn off location. You can turn off in-app purchases. You can put restrictions on the ratings of music and podcasts and movies and stuff that you can watch.
Can I say that most of the things that you have mentioned so far negate the actual if you're going to do that, you might as well just have bought them a Motorola Razr, one of those that I just looked up on eBay. Why the hell did you give them an iPhone if you're going to kill all that stuff?
I agree.
It's kind of like the biggest nonsense thing I've ever heard.
Well, I don't want to get off tangent. I mean, I think the notions of restrictions in general are, you know, misguided. I mean, I understand the desire to have, you know, some sort of monitoring and control over what your kids see. And, you know, we certainly have... Our approach with Amy has been no restrictions, but plenty of monitoring. So she can do whatever she wants, but we're going to know that she's doing it.
How do you know that?
What do you mean?
What do you do?
On her phone, that's harder. I'm mainly talking the computer at this point. There are some ways to do the phone, but they basically involve, like, you know, actually physically having control over the phone sometimes.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
I gotta say,
the one thing about all this snooping on, like, children, look, I'm hoping that, you know, my parents, told me, you know, or my environment taught me certain things as I was a child, because it wasn't just my parents, okay?
Yeah.
They didn't monitor shit that I did.
Yeah. Me either.
I mean, you know, I find this rather... I can't see myself how the hell to do this. I mean, I don't mean that I'm not going to be concerned about what my child does or not, but I mean, there's a certain point that goes beyond just being concerned and just being a fucking nosy motherfucker.
No, I absolutely. And, you know, the way we did it, we sort of started out with very, very light stuff and then, you know, increased it when she would occasionally get into trouble, and are looking to decrease it at any opportunity. Cause, you know, I have no desire to, you know, be all in her business, you know? There's always a balance going on about, you know, how far to be involved or not be involved. And it varies depending on the kid and what's going on and blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, I don't know. It's not a simple issue. Do I know that we got it right completely? No, I have no idea. But and maybe we have more than we need. But whatever. So back to Google real quick. I mean, Apple, Google, whatever. You know, they're all the same.
Apple-ugle. Well, maybe they'll merge.
Yeah, well, I know. You know, you're not going to find Android keeping these, you know, you from looking at boobs. Anyway, no.
I actually think it's worse. I don't think there's any applications to be able to look at anyway on Android anyway.
Well, I just think I understand what Apple is trying to do here to keep the image of the device clean, because they want to be the squeaky clean, you know, Apple is noble and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they don't want the iPhone to be known as a porn device.
I understand that. I don't think that this is the right approach. I think that, honestly, if you want to do something like this, then you have to put some real parental controls on the device.
Yeah,
you put
real parental controls, and you put some sort of rating system in place that you enforce or something. Or
exactly.
Or you just say, you know, screw it. This device, attaches to the internet, and you can get shit on the internet. If you don't want the Boob app, don't download it. If you don't want your kid downloading the Boob app, talk to them and deal with them yourself. You know, it doesn't have to be a technological solution to everything, you know?
The Boob app is very silly.
It's idiotic. And, like, I mean,
it's a silly app.
And I could frankly see an issue here if they actually did have... I shouldn't say an issue. I could see an argument here if they actually had real porn apps. But they don't have real porn apps. I mean, they don't even have anything R-rated. Everything we're talking about here is PG-13. You know? Mm-hmm. And really? We care? I mean, come on. I mean, I guess, I guess Apple is a bunch of prudes, but, you know, whatever. And do these same restrictions apply internationally? Because, I mean, I know Americans are a bunch of tight asses, but, I mean, a lot of the world is not.
It's a very good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I haven't logged on to one of the international stores to see what is on, to be honest. So
I did see a news story that Apple's extension of the App Store into more countries continues. They added like 7 more countries this week. You know.
Oh.
Countries you wouldn't necessarily think of, like Madagascar. You know. But hey, they have that.
And get this. You know that I mentioned that my father actually, you want to know hilarious? My father just sent me a request to follow me on Twitter. Now, the problem is, here's the problem though. I actually didn't even remember I had an account on Twitter, and I got to admit that I don't even know how to use it in the first place.
Well, on Twitter, unless you've got something set up strange, it's not a request. It's just they're now following you.
I know. So, yeah. Am I sure about this? Manuel F. Bo would like to follow your tweets on Twitter.
You must have it set for private or something.
Anyway. I guess. I don't know. Well, I never use the fucking thing.
Okay. So
my father's now on Twitter and on Facebook. I mean,
it really is, you know, a new century. 10 years in, really a new century, because, you know, our parents are Twittering and Facebooking, and, you know, actually none of my parents are Twittering yet. Maybe next week.
Okay.
Anyway, Yvonne, do you have anything else to say, or should we just wrap it up now?
No, let's just wrap it up.
Okay, so yeah, we were potentially going to say something about the terrorist who ran his plane into the building in Texas,
but there isn't much to say other than the guy is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, so we're done here. Maybe there'll be more exciting news next week. So do you want to give the sign off, Yvonne?
You can give the sign off. I'm already passing out of sleep.
Thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, email me at ablesme@ablesme.com. That's ABULSME. And, tell your friends to listen. We enjoy more listeners. And, if you do send any comments, we will, you know, react on the air and talk about them and stuff. So we always like it when we get those. Anyway, that's it.
Yes, we do.
That's it for this week. Talk to you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Yvonne.
All right, good night.
Night.